Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Night has fallen on the campground. The crickets hum, punctuated by the occasional startling pop and crack of embers from the dwindling fire, like exclamation points for warnings you can't hear. When suddenly, just beyond the smoke, the flames illuminate a strange figure, something inhuman, with two hollow, bulging black eyes. Eyes that have been watching you from the dark. From an unsettling cynocephali encounter in the woods of Ottawa to a conjured vampire prowling a Pennsylvania suburb, join us as we present compelling accounts of encounters with creatures assumed to be myth, unsettling disturbances with bedroom space-time, and sentient craft watching it all from just above the trees.
Conspiracy,
synchronicity,
Sasquatch,
homunculus,
alien races,
Satanism in Hollywood,
MK Ultra,
Tartaria.
There's like a whole. I've been watching this one guy.
Close the door, it.
Jury,
it.
Close your door.
What's the
inner earth disagreements?
Ghost Dad.
I like that movie.
Dogman.
Bohemian Grove.
Corey Feldman.
Magicians are demons.
Specters.
Spirit summonings.
Paralysis.
Strange disappearances.
Sky whale phenomenon.
Yes!
Alternative history.
Shadow people.
Shh, quiet. I'm trying to say words with the mouth.
It's getting dicey out there.
Poltergeists.
That's cool.
Anunnaki.
What is the moon?
Elf towers.
I would never talk about it. That's old.
Y2K.
Cover-ups.
Apocalyptic catastrophe.
Vampire.
Vampire. Hi. Well, hello, hello.
Hello, gentlemen.
Welcome back to Belief Hole. Season 5 continues.
Yes.
Today.
We had a good break. Thanks for coming back.
Yes.
Yes.
Try to get a lot done in the background, and we got some of it done. It turns out there's a lot to do when there's only three of you.
I like to think of the Belief Hole as a ship chartering the sea, the USS Belief Hole. Mm. And when there's shore leave, all of the audience gets to disembark and do their different things. And
we got
to
clean the toilets.
The crew patches the holes in the ships to keep it afloat for the next journey.
Yeah.
And that next journey begins.
Right, this dirty old barge floating in the ocean.
Yes, the Belief Hole barge. Just stinking. And looking mysterious.
But she's all fresh and clean, and she's ready to take you into the forest around the campfire for a very exciting edition.
Oh, yes.
Strange Listener Stories 22.
So I want to tell you a story.
We don't want to scare anybody.
What better way to get back in the hole?
Yeah.
Than with some real brushes with the bizarre from our very own listeners. Listeners like you out there. True stories. Of the strange and unusual. And if you out there have a story, go to bleephole.com, click on the share your story button, leave us a speak pipe, actually, and to hear your beautiful voices.
Yes.
Makes it even more mysterious. We've got some great ones today. I'm actually really excited.
As always.
As always.
I'm excited to peel back some of truth's protective layers.
Oh, thank you.
Do you remember that quote?
No.
That was Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
In a,
wait, what?
Neil Armstrong. It advanced later in his life. He was doing a lecture, remember? And he was talking about, people say clandestinely, giving away some information that there's things that NASA's not telling us.
Secret things about the moon.
And he says, maybe you can peel back one of truth's protective layers.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Great.
There are great ideas undiscovered. Breakthroughs available to those who can remove one of truth's protective layers.
And the idea, of course, is that, yeah. Well, we mentioned that in our...
Did we go to the moon?
Did we go to the moon episode? Moon landing. Conspiracy.
But I am excited, and I'll just say this quick before we get into the stories, because we got a bunch of really interesting topics we're going to cover the rest of the season. And one of them I think we're finally going to do is Who Built the Moon. I've had that book for a while. I've been thumbing through that, and that kind of relates to that.
For years, I've been wanting to cover that topic. There's all kinds of moon mysteries, any way you approach it.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, what do we have coming up today, Chris?
Oh, yes. Get ready, because we have Dark Dream Doorways. Transylvanian time slips. Campground dogmen. And neighborhood vampires. So some great stories coming up. And over the break, I did build out a little bit more of the story archive on our site. So if you guys are interested in reading some accounts that we've done on the show and hearing those portions of episodes with those specific stories, you can check that out at our website. If you had a story told on the show,
oh yeah,
there's 50% chance that it's already up, because I think I've gotten through about half of them.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Good job.
Nice
thank
work.
You it's a lot of
the
work.
The listener story archive, a place of the bizarre and beautiful.
I want it to be a place where people can come and not only hear their stories, share their stories with friends and family, but also a place for researchers, other podcasters to come and corroborate accounts. So we're going to build out the search on it too.
Yeah. And hopefully,
we've been planning that for a long time. Yeah. It just takes a long time to actually make it happen.
Yeah.
We have so many original stories. I'd also love to turn into a book at some point, some of the,
for sure,
make some collections. And if you happen to be listening and you do ever repurpose some of these stories, make sure you source it to the original, hello people. I'm sorry.
Conky.
Make sure you source it to the original person who submitted it, at least if they're not anonymous that we have listed, and give us a shout out that they came from here. It helps us grow too.
That'd be great. Yeah.
But yeah, great database, Chris. That'll be fun to keep building out. So link in the show notes for the listener stories archive, guys. And one story I'm really excited about, actually, Chris, you mislabeled.
Oh no.
Campfire Dogman. Cause this is a much more unique story. It's not a dogman.
I said campground dogman.
I'm not concerned about the camp part.
Okay.
It's not a dogman per se. It's more like a cynocephali. Or a cynocephaly, however you choose to pronounce it.
Cynocephaly.
A dog head wearing manimal, essentially. Like it's a human man, or it looks very human with the head of a dog, but not necessarily aggressive, just kind of like, oh, it's your neighborhood cartoon animal.
So is that where you make the distinction between cynocephaly and the...
A dogman is more
the
like...
modern day frightening accounts of dogmen?
Yeah, that's what we get into.
The fear eaters?
The fear eaters, the nightmare feeders, the werewolf-esque type creature.
Right.
But yeah, the cynocephaly... totally different. This is like a lost race of people, a dog-headed people, essentially. And this goes back, which we mentioned in our first episode when we did this. We'll put a link in the show notes.
From season one.
From season one.
And subsequent episodes right. later.
But the cynocephali, going back to Greek antiquity, totally different. Basically a forgotten, a lost or maybe hidden race of dog-headed men. Documented by the likes of Ctesias, a Greek physician who wrote a detailed report on the existence of the cynocephali in India. One of my favorites, Megasthenes, who claimed, and this is interesting, to know about a dog-headed people in India who lived in the mountains and communicated through barking and wore skins of wild animals and lived by hunting. Very strange details for supposedly a non-human race. And interestingly, Claudius Alenus, that's definitely not how to pronounce it, but that's that's how I'm reading it. He too mentioned this dog-headed tribe in the mountains of India that had a human shape at the dog head. But interestingly, even though they had no speech of their own, they would howl, they would bark and communicate, but they could understand the Indian language nearby.
Oh, interesting.
So obviously a different race of people that understood the language, but just didn't have the vocal cords to communicate. Anyway, so that's what this upcoming story seems to point to, which is just fascinating. It goes on with Herodotus and other reports in the past. But yeah, cynocephali, totally different creature from the dog man. Different, maybe more human, but yet not.
The friendlier type. So this is more of the trench coat.
Cigarette smoking dog.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Like
cool.
He may have a life down the street. He might work at the Burger King.
That's the one I'd rather meet.
But in disguise. Yeah. This is the, anyways, that's a fascinating, that comes from Jacker. I'm trying to pronounce her name. I think Jacker. That's a great story from her coming up. But where shall we begin? Is there any other information we wanted to say or anything before we dive in?
No, let's satisfy the impatient people that always leaving.
We have to go 8 minutes into the episode before it starts.
Everyone's got their
opinions. Just kidding, person that said that.
Well, sometimes context is important. Indeed. All right, this one is pretty fascinating. I love this story because it's got the classic, you know, sometimes you get stories that are just kind of strange, where there's a question mark at the end. Like, what was that? Where is there any sort of connection to anything?
Yeah.
Or is it just a bizarre one-off kind of weird thing that occurred? This is interesting because there is a tie-in at the end. I will start off by saying, this is from Erin, and she uses the term EVP, but what she means is the sort of application on phones, or this is an older story, so iPod Touch, where you have an app and it'll say words, you know, pre-recorded words into thing, or grab them from transmissions or whatever.
Did she happen to tell you the name of the app she was using?
No.
So the idea is that it'll just randomly pop out a word while you're doing an investigation.
Right, which is, you know, I've had my questions about that technology for sure, especially in from things from the App Store. You know, how there's an argument to be made, like, how possible is it for a spirit to grab something from your phone and make it say a certain thing or choose things? You know, we don't know how these things were, obviously. But what's fascinating about this story is the context in which these words are said. And this is also a great story because it's, I think we can, a lot of people can relate to this classic summer of your youth and being with friends and going on adventures. So let's tell this tale. This is called Firestarter, and it happened 2012 in Mansfield, Montana.
Chris, it's Missouri. That's M-O is Missouri. Montana is M-O.
I always change them. Mansfield, Missouri.
They always change them.
Just Missouri.
Doing it to mess you up.
Missouri. My friends and I used to be obsessed with ghost hunting. We would download the EVP detectors you could get on your iPad Touch, and then we'd take my dad's truck and drive to creepy places and see if we could talk to anything on the other side. That is until this summer night. The summer after I turned 16, my two best friends and I were inseparable. We spent almost every night together, and when we got bored, we grabbed my friend Alexis's iPod, the camera bag, and my dad's truck keys, and see if we could get any evidence that places around where we grew up were haunted. It was late July, and we decided we would go around to two places in town that we hadn't tried before: the old Catholic church and the cemetery. Now, this Catholic church we were going to was just down the road from the home I grew up in, and had the best parking lot for riding our bikes. So my friends and I, as well as my siblings, had spent a lot of time down there. But there was one part of the church where we wouldn't go. On the right side of the church, there was a memorial set up for a mother and her son who had passed away in a car accident when my dad was a kid. The memorial itself was beautiful. There was a big statue of Mary with two marble benches at each side, and it was surrounded by flowers. And then in the center was a plaque with their names on it and the date they had passed away. Now, even though this spot was beautiful, none of us would go near it because there was a dark presence there. But for some reason, the three of us girls decided on this particular night we would go. So we made our way over there and set up our gear and got to asking questions. We asked the normal, "Is anyone here? If you can hear us, say something," etc. But we got no answer. My friend decided to switch it up when we weren't getting anywhere with these questions. And she asked,
"How did you die?"
We waited, when all of a sudden, the little EVP on our iPod said,
"Car wreck."
Chills went down my spine, and my friends just stared at each other. We were speechless. We went on to ask a few more questions and didn't get any more responses until
get out.
Just started repeating over and over again, to the point that we thought the iPod had broken. We quickly got into the truck and sped off. Now, normally we would have been done after that because we were really scared, but blame it on adrenaline or pure teenage stupidity, but we made our way to the cemetery. In the town I grew up in, there is only one mausoleum, and it's pretty old, so naturally, that's where we set up. We started asking questions that we knew the answers to. And this is how it went. Me. Is anyone here? EVP.
Yes.
Me. Are you male or female? By the way, this was where a husband and wife were laid to rest. EVP.
Female.
Me. What day of the week did you die? EVP.
Sunday.
My friend Tasha then quickly Googled the date on the plaque, and it was a Sunday. Me. Did you have any children? EVP.
Doctor.
Me. What was her name? EVP.
Bronwyn.
Tasha also looked this up, and apparently, this was a popular name for the time and era of the date. And the definition of the name was white-breasted. At this point, we knew we needed to go. We felt sad, and at the same time very scared. I can't explain it, but the energy had shifted since we had gotten there. But Alexis had one more question. Alexis.
How did you die?
EVP.
Fire.
And I said, who started the fire? EVP.
Daughter.
With this, we gathered our things and went home. But much to our surprise, it didn't end there. Later that night, after we had all three fallen asleep, we were suddenly woken up to what sounded like my bedroom door opening. But when we looked, it was still closed. Then, all of a sudden, my box fan went flying across my room. Then my stereo. Keep in mind this was a 6-disc stereo. It was not small. Followed by my TV. We were terrified at what had just happened and didn't know what to do. My mom came running into my room to see what was going on and noticed my stuff everywhere. And then she saw the three of us sitting on my bed terrified. And I'll never forget the sound of her voice or the look on her face when she looked at us and said,
you were playing around with that ghost stuff again, weren't you? I told you if you open yourself up to evil things, they will come in.
The next day, the three of us were too scared to stay at my mom's house alone, so we headed to my dad's. Even though my dad wasn't home, we all three felt so much safer there because that was the house I grew up in, and nothing too crazy had ever happened. So we get to my dad's and sit down on the couch to watch a movie and eat lunch when Tasha comes in the living room and asks,
when did your dad get home?
I told her that he was out of town and wouldn't be home for a few days, but she insisted that she heard someone in his bedroom. I told her she wasn't funny. I was still uneasy from the night before, and showed her the text where he told me he was going out of town, but we could stay at his house. But she still insisted someone was in there. I checked the security system and showed her it was still on and no one could get in. We went to the back door, which happened to be my dad's room, and I showed her that both locks were locked, and that the door to the attic was still closed, and you couldn't close it from the inside, so she didn't have to worry. No one was in there. So we all go back to the living room and sit down, when we start hearing footsteps above us, coming from the attic. I know no one could have gotten into the house without setting off the alarm, and the only people with keys in the code were my dad and I. So Alexis once again pulled out her iPod. Me.
Is someone here?
EVP.
Yes.
Alexis.
Who?
EVP. After this interaction, the footsteps got louder, and we left my dad's house. I told my dad what happened once he got home, and after that, he hung up a cross and rosary by the front door. And the three of us never messed with ghosts again.
Oh man,
very creepy.
So the daughter followed them home.
The fire starter.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Super creepy.
Creepy. And then so that's what it was indicating anyways.
The spirit pretending to be the daughter. Or the spirit that possessed the daughter that started the fire.
Pretty eerie though.
Yeah, that would definitely be like a dun-dun-dun moment when you were...
For sure.
When you heard Bronwyn again.
Yeah, Bronwyn, yeah.
Bronwyn.
That's the female version, by the way, for you Game of Thrones fans out there. Bronn or Bran.
Oh, really?
It means white raven or white breasted.
Oh.
Bronwyn is the female version.
That's cool.
Of that name.
Who's the author of that again?
Of Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Oh, George R.R. Martin.
I was wondering, maybe Aaron is just a pen name for him, and he wrote in the story to us.
That's a really dumb comment.
Yeah.
You can leave.
Erase that from your brain and from our brains.
From your hearts. But yeah, that's the thing that always keeps me from going to places, especially really dark, sort of allegedly haunted places.
No, I mean, I swear, like, even the little bit I did for the show, experimented with the app stuff, that's when all that weird stuff started happening.
The Whistler and all that
stuff. Remember when we did the one that would just pull up words and it was like brother, funny, show or something?
I forgot about that. It is weird. That's right. I forgot about that. It is weird too, because there was one time around the same time.
Sounds like they liked it at least.
We were, fan. Listener, good job.
Expansion member.
How do I sign up?
The first time I tried using one of those, you know, I always have my doubts about those sorts of things, but it is weird when in context it seems to be appropriate. I remember sitting literally in between at our parents' house. There's the dining room and the living room, and there's that kind of
archway
there. And I was sitting in the chair that sits directly under that archway. And I said, is anybody here? And it said,
Christian Archway.
It said Threshold.
A Threshold.
And then it said chair.
And my name is Christian.
I mean, I do think it opens up some sort of communication a lot of the times.
So there's some manipulability.
Sometimes it's not always positive, most of the time.
Yeah.
Usually it's demons.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah.
I don't know, but
it can be, and that's a good reason not to. It
could be fire starters. You don't want a fire starting ghost following you around.
No. Like the Sally House we covered in Expansion, that deep dive we did. Remember the fire starting that was going on there? No thanks.
Well, especially, I mean, the following is such a common theme when you go to these places, just synchronistically. I'm always looking for shows, TV shows, documentaries, or people telling their stories. You know, this like Paranormal Witness was a really good one. But there was an HBO show called, what was that called, Chris?
Something about the woods.
These woods are haunted, I think. Something like that.
A little on the nose.
Yeah. Very straightforward.
I think it's a bit older.
The first one, or at least the one that I saw, was a girl actually from Cincinnati. And she was so emotionally affected by this, like broken and freaked out. She had gone to, I think it must have been the Mansfield Reformatory or something. And when she witnessed something in there, she took a picture of this shadow sitting on a prison bed and just like pitch black. But the flash didn't go off, so she couldn't see if there was anything in the room. But allegedly, she had the picture and there was this like shadow there. But then once she got home, that's when it all got really disturbing. Her like husband heard a voice raspy in his ear saying, "Kill yourself."
Ugh.
Woke up to that.
And he was a major skeptic.
Yeah. And then their dog, Jake, ended up dying eventually after being
let's
like
stop there.
I know, because John has a dog, Jake, for those that don't know, so it's a little close to home. Anyways, it's a good show, but I brought that up because I was reminded of that in this story because of the idea of something following you home from a graveyard where death is. And this reminds me of like the grief guzzler, you know, the grief grief drinker.
It's like the boogeyman concept.
It's like grief drinker.
Grief slurper.
Grief eater.
We always talk about the fear eater, nightmare fear, but there is something also to the idea of, remember the battle of Chattanooga, was it?
Chickamauga
with the old green eyes. And the idea of this thing.
Grief guzzler.
That goes around and eats the grief, consumes, feeds off the energy of the suffering and sadness.
Right.
And that's a theme throughout history.
It's the fear eater. It's the same idea.
Yeah.
Right.
And in that story that I mentioned on, we'll link it in the show notes, the HBO show, when she goes home, so she's freaked out in the place, very freaked out at what she saw, and then came home and that whispering the suggestion to her husband to, you know, kill yourself, urging for people to do things that will end up cause more suffering.
So they can drink that grief.
And where this happened in the, well, she said it, that this place was a building where 300 some people had died in a fire, prisoners, many years ago, which actually matched the prison in Columbus. So I'm not totally sure which one it is. Anyways, the point is there's a lot of death, a lot of suffering, and this thing maybe running out of the fuel.
Yeah.
The grief feed at the prison was like, well, I'll catch a ride on this lady. She looks like she's vulnerable. And
right. This is something that comes up a lot as the hitchhiker phenomenon when it comes to paranormal entities.
Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Hitchhiker phenomenon. Yeah. Creepy stuff, guys. Steer clear. Starve those ghouls.
Starve those ghouls. That's why we joke around sometimes about the stuff, because I think it makes you a little safer and it just feels better than to just wallow in the darkness.
What's the next story we got?
Transylvania, John. Let's head over there.
Yeah, this next story comes from Eric, and we've titled it Transylvanian Time Slip.
But you be the judge. This is a very strange account.
It's hard to say what's going on in the story, but it's unique.
Let us know in the comments.
It comes from a small town in Romania in the plains of Transylvania. And this takes place in 2015. And this comes from Eric.
It was a hot summer night around 8 years ago. I was living inside an apartment with my parents on the fourth floor of a Soviet residential building. I had just finished eighth grade in June and had 3 months of summer vacation all to myself before starting high school. Around early July, during a regular day, I had been playing video games all night in my room. My parents were already fast asleep because they had to get up for work. I looked at the clock on my computer screen and it was 2 a.m., so I felt a little bad, despite the fact that I went to sleep at around 3 or 4 in the morning every day. This night, I felt a little guilty and decided to go to bed earlier. I quit the game, shut off the computer, and just sat in my chair. The room was now silent and dark, but the window curtains were out to the side, and as my eyes adjusted, I saw this beautiful, bright summer sky full of stars and a full moon. My room was pretty well illuminated by the natural light, and the darkness had this beautiful blue tinge. I vividly remember standing up from my chair and beginning to take steps towards the bed. I looked out towards the window one last time as I was walking, and suddenly, I was hit with this extremely bright white light. The light was not a lack of vision, as though I had gone blind, but it was a physical light coming from outside my window. I could no longer see any details outside, except for a very opaque, flat white color shining light rays into my room. As an instinct, I quickly moved my arm to shield my eyes from the light. Then I blinked. When I opened my eyes, a mere half second later, I was no longer standing up. I was now laying on my back, tucked in my bed, with my blanket neatly placed over me, without any folds or signs that I had moved. I quickly jolted up from the bed in shock. Was this a dream? I wasn't tired, nor felt as if I had slept at all. In fact, I felt as if nothing had happened. I don't remember getting into bed or falling asleep. It felt as if I had teleported. I didn't suddenly wake up. I was already awake. I'm just in a different place now. I was standing up 1 second, and through a mere blink, I found myself in a totally different place and orientation, now staring up towards the ceiling. How could this happen? The mysterious white light was now gone after that blink, and the sky was visible through my window. The whole event lasted maybe 1 or 2 seconds. I had almost no time at all to process what was happening in the moment. I started looking around my room for any clues as to what took place. I picked up my phone and saw that the time was now 5:30 a.m., meaning that 3.5 hours had passed in the span of 2 seconds? More than this, my arms and fingers had small scratches on them, which were bleeding and starting to scab, which I didn't have before. The types of scratches one would get by trying to walk through thick, dry bushes out in the wild. They all healed the next week. This experience baffles me to this day. I don't know if it was an alien abduction, a sort of time skip event, if I slipped into an alternate universe, or something more explainable. I still do not remember anything between the time when the light shined into my room and when I was jolted out of bed. From my point of view, it all lasted a second or two. P.S. The image I have attached is a screenshot from the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. This frame seems to match the way the light looked most closely. In fact, it was almost identical, except without a blue tinge. Just the purest white you can imagine. Love your podcast, guys. I always listen to it when I can.
That would definitely be unnerving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Missing time.
I can't even imagine the discombobulation you would feel of being just...
Right.
Snap your fingers and it would be like, I guess people who suffer with zero short-term memory.
Oh, like, what was that film?
Memento.
Memento. You just can't remember 1 minute to the next.
That would be unbearable.
Hell, dude.
Anyways, that's obviously a different thing.
Or really exciting. depending on how
depending on your outlook.
Everything is brand new.
If you're very like just go by the seat
think
your pants
about all
kind
the
of
movies
guy.
You could rewatch over and over again.
You couldn't finish
watch
one.
The same scenes.
That's a sad thing. I did see a documentary about the real life person. They based it on some guy from England. It was pretty sad, but it was sad because he couldn't remember. You know, he couldn't finish anything really. And
how would you stay sane?
I guess you wouldn't remember long enough to go crazy.
I mean, I guess I've never seen the movie or...
What? You never saw Memento?
It's a really...
Maybe. It's old, isn't it?
It's excellent. It's older now, but I imagine it holds
it's
up.
It's probably like 15 years old, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's that guy's
Maybe
name?
Maybe I did see it.
Percy Judas, or what was his name?
Guy Pearce?
Guy Pearce. Percy Judas, I like better.
Percy Judas.
There's also a comedy. Was it... Remember that? 50 First Dates? Was that? I don't know if that was it.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Adam
Drew
Sandler?
Barrymore?
Drew Barrymore? Mm. And was it Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
He just kept forgetting. Or she kept
she
forgetting.
She did, yeah.
And he had to, yeah. Anyway,
that's a different thing.
This guy is not suffering from that. It does sound much more like an abduction of
right.
some kind.
Yeah. You've got the bright light in the window. You've got the, obviously the missing.
Without the white light, who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, it could have been just a brain fart, a brain glitch.
Even with the light, I mean, you could argue, I mean, if you're being really skeptical about it,
not
you could say.
Not if there was an, I mean, if that just happened one time and there was no light, there'd be something wrong with
right.
that.
I'm saying there could be like a medical cause or something. Mm. Or fairies.
Or fairies.
It doesn't really make sense. Okay, it doesn't matter. That's not how
there
it happened.
There would be like a one-time thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big thing to just like have that and be tucked in your bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But is it possible, this is just a skeptic's corner here, is it possible you get up, you're playing video games for hours, you get up, you get a head rush, you see a bright light, and then
you pass
it
out.
It seems like you wake up in your bed, you don't remember, but what if like you really just forgot that you had kind of gotten to your bed and maybe scratched yourself up to this is obviously
maybe if you've been up for 3 days on meth playing video games.
That's true.
Yeah, that's when time starts. If you're up on like any even caffeine,
just a lot of rock star
for many days at a time, but that's very different.
Yeah, I wonder how tucked in he was. Like, yeah, that's the part that
was he like laying down where there's just like a part of the blanket over his
like, was it like mommy tucked him in?
Oh,
sort
yeah.
of thing. Like,
oh yeah, that's a good question.
Oh yeah, it's where you're nice and snug and they like yeah. even under the feet yeah. and you're like, I don't like it under the feet, mom.
That's a sweet alien that's doing a little tuck under the legs.
What
in the
does
back.
Tucked in mean?
Did he say tucked in or just like he was in bed?
Said tucked in, I think. Tucked in. I haven't been tucked in a long time.
But yeah. It's been a few years.
But obviously that is the disturbing part of the story. Not just the not knowing how you got there in one moment to the next, but also just the scratches part. Was it a defensive
I forgot about that
injury?
Part.
Yeah. Well, it, you know, reminds me of the very first episode of X-Files. Remember that?
Yeah. Billy, so I was thinking.
These
Billy Milligan? Or
kids were getting abducted and then, no, that was the real guy with the multiple personalities, but people were getting abducted. These
Billy
kids,
Meyer, I think.
And I think it might have been genetic. It was definitely in the generation. And they'd wake up out in the woods. Yeah, that sounds like what he's suggesting may have happened to him, but he has no memory of getting back into the house with these scratches on his arms.
Maybe the light led him out into the woods. Like you hear that story a lot.
Like a lure.
And then they put him back afterwards. Yeah.
Anyway, it could have gone all kinds of ways. But
thank you for sharing.
Let us know what you guys think about this story. What do you think about Eric's strange experience? Have you experienced anything like this? What might it be?
Maybe it was the spirit of Vlad.
And we'll put the image in the show notes that he sent us of what the light looked like from that screen grab from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Because seeing something like that out your window and then immediately having that experience, something definitely sounds like it's going on.
Yeah. Two great stories. Let's go for three.
Okay, this next story, guys, this comes from Jaker.
Close to your heart, this story, Jer.
Yeah, I really liked it because I don't think we've ever received firsthand a story of what sounds like a cynocephali. And now there's scholars out there that will get angry at how I pronounce the cynocephali. I'm not exactly sure how you pronounce it, but there's several ways I've heard. That's how I like to say it, and I'm sticking to it. This happened in Ontario, Canada in 2017, and she emailed us to let us know that this occurred about 6 years ago. It was an area that her and her family referred to as the Pond. It's a piece of land where her family camps outside of Cobourg, Ontario, Canada. In August of 2016... my family and I were camping at a very remote location, about 4 hours east of the Canada-Michigan border. Out there, it felt like miles away from civilization. It was 2 a.m., deep into the night. I was the only one who was sober. I was sitting in front of a still pond on a wooden chair, facing away from the water and looking out over the campfire toward the trailer where my family was staying. I could see the door to the trailer, but the night had grown so dark by then. I could barely see anything else. Suddenly, I noticed the light from the fire illuminating the bulging eyes of something standing in the doorway. The fire was only 3 feet in front of me, so the entity standing just behind it was really close. Too close. Whatever this thing was seemed to be leaning against the doorframe of the trailer and watching my family and I with its massive, black eyes. It was tall, but not huge, and it had a face resembling a dog's face. In disbelief and confusion, I stared at this thing for probably about a minute before glancing away, my mind trying to figure out exactly what it was that I was seeing. But when I turned back, the entity, the creature, was gone. Minutes later, my sister walked past me toward the trailer to use the bathroom, and I quickly followed her as she went inside. I grabbed a flashlight and pointed it out into the thick forest surrounding the campsite, but I couldn't see anything. Despite disappearing so suddenly, I don't feel like it teleported or anything. That side of the trailer is all forest, and the entity could have easily slipped off into the woods. Even though I didn't feel directly threatened by the creature, an unsettling feeling washed over me, and I ended up having to leave the campsite.
Creepy.
Yeah.
The creepy visual of it's, she's noticing this thing, noticing her, just watching and observing her family.
And it's
in
just
the darkness.
Being just across the fire from you, yeah. Leaning against the trailer, and then it's gone. Actually, and there's pictures. So she drew what this thing was. Why is the TV off? I was just going to pop it up on there. Did you turn that off, Chris?
Mm-mm. Pop it up.
This will be our little sting for when we put up pictures. Here we go. Preview to program. Now imagine seeing this. Friendly looking, but so disturbing and bizarre in its...
countenance?
Inhuman, it just should not exist. And guys, this is going to be in the show notes for you, but we will describe it here momentarily. It's the sound it makes in my mind. It's just a dog head with soulless black bulging eyes.
It's a
black-eyed
dog kid.
It's a black-eyed dog man kid.
Dog kid.
So that's her drawing of what this thing looked like from across the way. And here is another drawing, also in the show notes, guys, of this thing leaning against the door.
Now that doesn't look like a dog man.
It's just a human
body. Looks like a hammerhead alien.
Well, those are the ears sticking out.
She's not a professional illustrator.
Okay, she jokingly referred to them as her masterpieces of art. So,
I'm seeing it from far away, too. I see the dog now.
Yeah, she said she's not the
hammerhead alien.
It's a hammerhead alien with a beard. that's a nose. I am a much worse drawer than this drawer.
Yeah, we're not making funny.
No. We are. Me especially. I'm very bad. But I appreciated that she did this because it gives us a glimpse of the position and everything. And here is a map. This is what she drew. You can see the pond here. There's a little island in the pond, a bridge that goes across.
What are all those X's, treasure?
That's, I think, just
trees.
The woods, and there's short grass around the pond. But it's cool you get to see like the layout of how, and kind of envision how this happened, the fire in the trailer.
Eerie.
But anyways, very eerie. That's the thing. It's unsettling because it's just, I mean, just imagine seeing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a singular phenomena. And she, when she wrote in, she said that she had never heard anything about the dog man or anything, and this doesn't fit with the dog man because it's not...
Well, the typical accounts you hear about, like, the total fear and the intimidation.
Yeah, and the aggressiveness and yeah, that kind of thing.
Supernatural quality.
Oh, and specifically unique. Okay, so I should say that one of the reasons she left the campfire, everyone was hammered by this point. She wasn't. And she knew that she'd probably get picked on by trying to tell people what she thought she saw. So she left, but she did share this account. I think it was initially published by Paranormal World Wiki. And I forgot to mention that in there, there's this interesting detail that puts it firmly in the camp of the cynocephali and not a usual dogman incident.
If you guys are interested in the cynocephali in general, the historical accounts, you can check out earlier episodes of our show where we talk about that in detail.
For sure. But this comes from the author, I didn't get his name, but of the Paranormal World Wiki, she first reached out to tell the story because he had previously written about a dogman and a UFO. And he says, the cynocephali don't fit the description of modern dogmen, as we know, due to the cynocephali always being depicted as wearing clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that's always true, but that is a common theme and a distinction, which is a bizarre anecdote. Remember the, quote, dogman eating hamburgers behind the Burger King out of the dumpster or whatever?
Or the cigarette-smoking trench coat wearing one off the side of the highway?
It seems to point to the idea of this, the self-awareness of a human-like kind of thinking that you need to be clothed. But this is a detail, he says, that Jaker revealed, which put the case entirely in a different category. She thinks that the entity might have been wearing a black or navy blue sweater. She further clarified...
And some khakis.
Yeah. And said that it looked to be a regular pullover sweater, similar to those of the nonfiction brand.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with that.
But that's kind of interesting. That does point towards, you know, not a dog man.
Right. This is not the same type that's with their claws clack, clack, clacking on the road, chasing people down the...
He's a refined... Dog
yeah,
man.
He's probably a curious
business casual
fellow camper. Or he lives in some weird hidden society of dog-headed people, cynocephali nearby.
He smokes cigarettes.
I think they all do. I think it's a requirement of their breed.
He eats at Burger King.
I mean, I like the idea that these are maybe not necessarily things that are living among us and hiding, as you mentioned, Jer, but the idea that, like, if there are many layers to our reality, and this is happens to be one of the closest layers to our layer.
That's why they pop
in
and out.
So once in a while you see these, and maybe they're just as confused. Maybe he was observing terrified, and he goes back to his dog friends like, dude, there are these people that don't have long noses and or long ears. They're all small looking weird.
Although he did. He's
like skin all over.
Skin? Yeah, there's no fur. They're How naked.
It must be so cold. But the weird thing is he was leaning against the trailer, so he must have been feeling pretty relaxed, pretty, good. Pretty comfortable. Like, yeah. I could take these guys if I needed to. But anyway, she did mention, she pointed to, you know, St. Christopher, who we've talked about before, mm-hmm. represented as the dog-headed cynocephali. And there actually, there was a writing from the 10th century German bishop and poet Walter of Speyer, who portrayed St. Christopher as a giant cynocephalic species in the land of the Canaans, or Canaan in the New Testament, who ate human flesh and barked. And you hear all the time, like, the vocalizations of the dogmen, you mm-hmm. know, and that's more of a dogman, but also the cynocephali. Remember the one in the trailer park cynocephali we talked about years ago?
Yeah.
Our first episode, which I think is now archived for members only, but they would do this barking back and forth. They're like,
yeah,
I mean, I can't do
it's
it.
It's like a babble, dog babble.
A dog babble. So I was curious about the location, you know, I think it'd be awesome to go investigate. Mm-hmm. She said she is going to see if she can send us direct coordinates, because that'd be awesome if we could ever have a chance to do that. But apparently her brother actually went out there to investigate and didn't have a run-in with this thing, unfortunately. But she said he did see weird prints out there in the snow in that same area, as well as her dad. So the family did see some other strange things in the area. Who knows? But the main reason she wanted to share the story is because she's obviously dying to know what this thing is. And if anyone else has experienced anything like this, had an experience with this type of creature. And again, this happened before. She knew, heard anything about dogmen, obviously nothing about cynocephali. Yeah. So if you guys know what it is, I mean, you give us your thoughts. And if you have a run-in with a cynocephali or know someone who has, definitely hit us up. But in the article from Paranormal World Wiki, he referenced another story that actually comes from Linda Godfrey in her book, Monsters Among Us.
Right, which we have over there.
Yeah, and this is a great book. And this will sound familiar because we covered a similar story of a pig in a car. Acting in an oddly human fashion.
I forgot about that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
The pig that like rolled
it's
down
an
the
expansion
window.
Expansion episode.
It's almost identical to the story, but it's a pig. Anyways, this is a great story, John. I'd like you to read this. It's real short, but it kind of corroborates this kind of creature. This took place in the spring of 1982. Interestingly, by the fifth ex-wife of Philip K. Dick.
Oh, cool.
Weirdly enough, he had just died earlier that year. I think March, maybe? Tessa Dick was her name. And this happened at a red light in El Medina, California, which is just outside Orange, California.
Orange County?
Orange is like a city in the northern part of Orange County, named after oranges. So she's at a red light, no air conditioning, so she rolls the window down for air. And this is what happens. Take it away, brother.
A black limousine pulled up to my car, and the rear window went down. I saw a beautiful black German Shepherd sitting there in the back seat of the limousine next to the open window. I could see the dog's head, but not his body. I was looking at the dog and smiling, and the dog was smiling back at me.
That made you smile.
He looked intelligent, and he was clean and well-groomed. I thought that the owner of the limousine simply had a very beautiful dog. Somehow, without knowing how or why, I simply knew that the dog was male. But then just before the light turned green, the dog casually put his arm on the window ledge, and he had a hand. My jaw dropped and the dog smirked. I thought he was chuckling, pleased with himself that he had shocked me by showing me his hand. It looked like a human hand with fingernails, well manicured, and coal black skin like his hair. His arm had short black hair, like the hair on the dog's front leg, but his hand was hairless. And the arm had an elbow and shoulder, like a human elbow and shoulder. The light turned green and we both drove away. I never saw that limousine with the dog again. I tried to find some kind of ape or monkey with a face like that, but no such animal exists. And of course, dogs don't have human hands. Or smirk, I would add. So what did I see? Now I think that the dog owned the limousine rather than being the pet of a human.
That's awesome. That's the kind of paranormal experience I want. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, there are similar
it
stories
makes me like
that.
Think of like Elite, like
yeah.
shape-shifting or
for
something.
For sure, like, you know, that's what you do. Hey, this person obviously has money.
This dogman's had a few martinis and he's like, I'm going to play a joke on this lady.
Yeah.
I'm going to play my hand with my hand.
Yeah, and show myself.
That'd be so insane. Yeah, that would be a paranormal experience that would be interesting, but not too terrifying.
Yeah.
Just make you question everything about reality.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting too, because it is like, you know, this is Northern Orange County, California. It's a wealthy area. You could just imagine like there being a population of people, like you said, elites at the time.
Plus it's a really good mask and they did it on purpose.
Yeah, that's always the idea, is it could have been a prank.
Yeah. How close? She was right next to it.
Yeah, red light. We talked about that guy who got that lifelike collie outfit made and from the 14 Times article, like it was a lifelike dog man collie outfit, a suit.
Yeah.
But it cost him thousands and thousands of dollars to get one that looked custom made to look as real as possible.
Also, this
most masks don't look that real, but I mean, obviously, who knows the situation?
If they're wealthy to begin with,
yeah,
could be Johnny Knoxville underneath her.
That's true. The best dogmen or creatures I've seen like this were from Dog Soldiers, the movie.
Yeah,
which one did that come out?
Like, no, those are
horrifying though.
Those are more horrifying.
Not a German Shepherd head.
Realistic.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, yeah, if it smiled and smirked, if there really was like some sort of, you know, anthropomorphic human-esque kind of you know,
I mean,
face.
It's hard to imagine because. I mean, you'd think you'd be able to, like, especially if its mouth was moving.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be able to tell if it was a mask or
that's
not.
True. If it smirks, you can't smirk in a mask.
Well, also...
Well, you could, but it wouldn't...
You used to be an animatronic guy.
Like, that would
trunk.
Have to be... Even if it did, like, I don't know. I guess you'd have to be how close. You can see, like, the flesh. I don't know.
Yeah, this would have to be, like you said, animatronic. Mm-hmm. I mean, to put this in context, this occurred in 1982. So,
oh yeah,
it's not like that technology, even like Chucky style animatronics, isn't gonna be available.
Well, it could
to
have
like,
existed, but it would have been way more expensive.
Yeah. Well, and this is California, of course. This is, you know, south of LA, I think by an hour or something. So it's in Hollywood area. You could argue that,
yeah,
that someone it was part of a movie setup.
<That'd be> so funny.
But you also feel like, I don't know, I just feel like that close.
Yeah
it's hard to say. In the moment, your brain is also going to fill in the gaps of stuff that doesn't quite look right. And
it was so, I'm sure it was so shocking in the moment to see the hand come up when you just thought it was a dog.
But again, this is, you know, this just goes to, it could have obviously been a hoax, but this is not a singular thing. Like we're saying, we had the experience from Jaker. Thank you, Jaker, for sending that in. Unique experience, but we have this pattern of people seeing these dog-headed people.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered this in the past, and there could be some history for this specifically. And Jaker pointed this out in her email, which I think we may have mentioned this before, but she also mentioned Christopher Columbus was, quote, told of these beings. And that is true. Apparently, if you didn't know, Columbus had received reports of a race of dog-headed people on November 26, 1492. Also, and you guys might be familiar with this, Jean Le Testu, compiler of the majestic 1555 atlas entitled Cosmographie Universale, drew the cynocephali, the dog-headed men, onto the map of the New Worlds. It's a famous map I'll put in the show notes.
I remember that.
And then later, Jane and Pedro Maxia, historians, reported encounters with giant cynocephali in Patagonia in 1952 and 1613, respectively. But anyway, so this is obviously, it goes all throughout history. And if they were in the New World, and maybe some of them had, you know, were the elites of their dog-headed society, maybe they're still riding around in limousines.
I sure hope so.
Or going camping in Ontario. Anyways, fascinating stuff. Thank you so much for that, Jake. It was a great tale. Great encounter to share.
One thing I will say about that is when she said the monkey thing, I have heard the argument that especially cynocephali or cynocephali, baboon, sort of the dog snout or whatever, but they don't wear clothes and they don't cook on a spit.
Yeah. Are you talking about the historical accounts?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Modern accounts are even more, I think, distinguished from a baboon type creature.
Yeah.
Most people know what a baboon looks like now.
Right. Well, do you want to take a break and come back with some more amazing stories?
Chris, what do we have coming up in the highly sought after expansion?
Oh my gosh. I am so excited.
For members only.
Yes. So for those of you who don't know out there, new listeners, we do member episodes every time we drop a regular episode, and they're full packed of beauty and lore.
It's available right now. This one you're about to preview.
We've got over 100 now, don't we?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, I've been wanting to do this thing for a long time. Strange celebrity encounters.
One of the highlights of Academy Award night each year for motion picture fans across the country, and especially for those here at Santa Monica Civic Auditorium, is the arrival of the glamorous celebrities.
And I need to work on the title. But basically, it's what you would think.
How about the Tales of the Freaky and Famous?
That would work too. But basically, bizarre accounts from familiar faces whose lives have intersected with the inexplicable. From William Shatner being saved from certain death in California, which I think we talked about this briefly once, by a strange visitor. Some say E.T. We'll talk about that. It's a great story. Jimi Hendrix being rescued from frozen death. So the opposite of a situation. Trying to get to Manhattan with his bandmates and being sidelined, stuck in a snowdrift until a strange humanoid appears. I won't spoil the story, but basically rescues them.
I don't know if I trust Jimmy with all the LSD he was taking.
there's some great ones. We've got, we'll do some contemporary accounts too, and even play some clips. You know, you can find some of these stories on Ranker and things like that, but we're going to go in depth with Timothy Green Beckley in his book. He was the one who initially got these stories from these people directly. He was an interesting guy because he wrote this book called UFOs Among the Stars, but he's been described as the Hunter S. Thompson of ufology because of his crazy life. At the age of 3, he was saved by an invisible force. It said that he was raised in a haunted house. His grandfather saw a headless horseman. He's had a lot of strange experiences.
Awesome.
So his personal life might be more interesting than some of these encounters, but because he also worked for, back in the day in the 60s, what would now be like a TMZ kind of thing, he would go to be behind the scenes a lot at concerts, game shows. That's where he talked to Shatner. It was during a 70s game show. Since he had this passion for ufology, he would always ask them if they had any strange experiences, and that's how he got these really good stories. So we'll be getting into that. And I think, Jeremy, you're going to bring something we touched on before.
Yeah, well, initially I was going to say this sounded dumb to me, the topic. I thought, well, not dumb. But
well, thanks.
Initially I was like, so they're just like people that send stories into us, but they just happen to be celebrities. Like, what's the big deal? But then I the more I thought about it, and you talked about it, I was like,
extra layer of intrigue because...
Yeah, because they're public figures.
Not only because we all know them, but also because, they have, by going public, it risks their career potentially or how people see them. Mm-hmm. And there is a layer of credibility because you know who they are.
Because they wield an influence.
Right. So it is interesting, especially culturally. But yeah, there are some definitely interesting tales. And specifically, clip I'm going to play, you guys may have heard it.
Well, we talked briefly about this before.
The Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins having seen a shapeshifter. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, more has come out.
Really?
There's more to the clip of him being followed up on talking about it on a further interview. So we're going to play that, and I'm going to do a little detective work.
That sounds interesting.
I'm going to actually track down who it was. That's my plan. So go to the expansion for that. No guarantees.
Going to connect some dots?
Yeah, but it's going to be fun. It'll be interesting. But we'll go on this journey with us. It will be strange, and it will be entertaining.
Yes.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you after the break.
Enjoy a clip from this expansion episode right now.
Access granted.
We were in upstate New York. It was 4:00 in the morning, and we were trying to make it back to Manhattan, a drive of more than 100 miles through the worst blizzard I can recall. The wind was whipping the snow around our van so fiercely that we missed the turnoff leading to the state highway that would put us in the direction of home. The next thing I remember is getting stuck in a drift that reached the hood of our vehicle. Soon it got so cold. The windows were rolled up tight, and we had the heater on full blast to protect us from the rawness of the elements. I had my doubts about seeing the light of day again. We could have turned to human icicles very easily. That's how bitter it was.
Okay, so at this point, Curtis says the road in front of them suddenly lit up as a bright phosphorescent object, which was, quote, cone-shaped, like a space capsule, landed in the snow about 100 feet up ahead, and it was using tripod landing gear.
Ooh, old school.
Yeah.
UFO contact.
At first, we thought it was an apparition caused by the cold and our confused state of mind. I mean, we just couldn't believe our eyes.
So Curtis, he wants to see if Jimmy is experiencing the same thing, so he starts prodding Jimi Hendrix with his elbow. And he asks him, are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? And then Curtis goes on.
Jimmy didn't answer, but sort of smiled. He seemed to be staring out into the night, his eyes riveted on this thing resting within a stone's throw.
So then Curtis, he looks back to the other guys, hoping that they're seeing what he's seeing. But, he doesn't have luck in this because of what Curtis says here.
Three other members of the band were sleeping, curled up beneath the blankets in the back of the truck. I tried to wake them, but they wouldn't budge. I was afraid that carbon monoxide, caused by the exhaust fumes and the rolled up windows, might be getting into their lungs.
Okay, so now Curtis is freaking out, but before he can do anything, a door opens on the side of the craft and an entity comes out, very strange looking entity. And this is how Curtis describes it.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome back into the Bleep Hole, where we have more hair-raising tales of strangeness. But first...
Don't do that voice.
but first, before we get into the scary freaky, let's do a little sci-fi nostalgia if you guys are interested.
I'm always up for sci-fi nostalgia.
We got a great clip, a speak pipe, if you will, from a fellow by the name of Grant. This is a little bit nostalgic. And you'll see why. I will just say he encounters something inexplicable in the sky in 1987.
Hey guys, this is Grant. I just wanted to give you one of my short stories from the mid-80s. I was born in 83, so this would have been in 1987. And it takes place in the lower east side of Michigan, Mount Clemens. Me and my brother Jesse were in the back seat of my parents' car, and they were arguing in the front seat, and we had just gone to church. And we were stopped and waiting to turn out onto South Gratiot Road. And it's a really busy road, so we were sitting there for, must have been 5 minutes. It was really bad. But anyway, so I looked off to my left side, and I saw this silver Nerf football shaped looking thing just sitting right outside my window, and it literally looked like a football made of polished glass, like made of mirror. So it wasn't like a cloaked object that was see-through, but it was clearly a three-dimensional object, and it looked exactly like the spaceship from Flight of the Navigator when it goes into cruise speed mode and changes shape. So I was 4 years old, staring at this thing, gobsmacked. My brother Jesse, who's 2 years older than me, he was, I tried to get his attention, and he was already looking at it. And we both tried to get our parents' attention, and they weren't listening to us, because we were just kids. So after about 20 seconds of looking at this thing, it bumped and moved up and down, like acknowledging us. And it slowly turned 90 degrees, and it shot like a bullet down a side street. Literally, if I had to guess, 5,000 miles per hour. It shot like a bullet. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what that could be. It's definitely not a drone because it was in 1986, 87. So I just thought you guys would find that interesting since you're 80s kids and you probably know Flight of the Navigator. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye.
That's awesome.
That's wild.
Yeah. To see something like following your family car, like the parents aren't paying attention.
Yeah.
And you're watching this thing following you. And then as you and your brother are looking at it, it like nods hello and then zips down a street.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
pretty awesome. That's also very Spielberg-y.
Yeah.
No, it's great crazy story. That it acknowledged him.
Yeah. So it could be a drone, but maybe a drone from some other ship.
I mean, 87. Yeah.
It's not a military drone.
Yeah. I mean, a drone, as in like a drone from a UFO, like a little scout, you know.
I mean, it sounds like the craft was almost intelligent itself to be able to nod like
that's
that.
True. Unless there was a guy with a remote control in the flying saucer. Mothership.
It seems like probably at that level, you know, if it is that, it almost like the technology, kind of like Flight of the Navigator, where the technology and the pilot are almost one.
It's in way, it's a symbiotic kind
like
of
like a sentient ship.
I mean, yeah. You hear that a lot. I mean, communication with whatever is up in the sky, people believe that they either be being spoken to or they can summon these things. Like there is something, if not biological necessarily, there's something intelligent that is conscious and maybe telepathic.
Yeah, but that makes total sense. We did the Sky Creatures episode seasons ago.
Yeah.
We talked all about the life forms.
Crazy that it's exactly like Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah. We're pulling up images right now of Flight of the Navigator, the ship in that. Yeah, great nostalgic reference to that. I saw some of these images, John, when I first searched the movie. And some of these scenes are just like...
I know. Just brings me back to that place.
Weird feelies when I look at the pictures.
Yeah. Like sitting in his little glass ship. The strange like alien little buddies he had. That was the theme of the idea of the movie was it was this ship where the ship had to get home. And there are these little creatures where the ship's like friends. But the ship had like a personality. I think it was Pee Wee Herman voiced the ship. Anyway.
Really?
I think so. It was named Paul Rubens, I think.
Yeah, it was kind of like a weird voice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Over the top.
I think it was a little, I remember him being like kind of mean to the kid.
Yeah.
It's like I need your brain. Personality though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Not just like a drony.
No. It was like, it's like my friends and I need to get home. You are the navigator.
That's it, Davey.
Davey.
If you want to learn to swim, you've got to jump in the water.
Don't forget to feed Bruiser. Two obvious patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and sesame seed bun.
Whoa. This can't be happening. I think I've gotten some stuff out of your head that has nothing to do with navigating this ship.
You sound just like a human.
No! That dumb dog will never learn to catch a frisbee. You are an inferior species, you dumb dork.
Butt face.
Scuzz bucket.
I don't remember it at all.
Remember that scene where he comes to the child gets dropped off in the future and his family has been missing him for like a decade or something? That always made me feel so weird watching that. Like he returns home and that's it's like 10 years later and he just gets dropped off in the woods.
I don't
even
remember that part.
Man.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I don't think that's the end.
It's one of my biggest nostalgia movies because I always remember the beginning where it's a montage of people throwing frisbees to their dogs like silhouette in a park. You
the dog's
that?
Jumping up into frame and catching the frisbees and coming down. Because he's playing frisbee with his dog in the beginning.
Yeah, and he finally, after the credits are done rolling, I think the frisbee goes into the woods behind the park or something, and he goes down into the woods.
I don't know if that's where
he first sees this thing, but something happens there. I forget.
Yeah, it's very, very much like my childhood there. I don't even remember the movie. I just remember...
just the feeling of it.
And I remember all the visual images.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the storyline. I used to watch that movie all the time.
Yeah. We had it on Betamax. Remember that thing he stows away in to get away from the military base? It's like a robot cart thing.
Yeah.
He would come and bring him like drinks and stuff. And then he snuck into it one day and he was able to escape
with
the help of a pretty girl. I remember that very well.
Anyway, thank you for that, Grant.
Yes.
That was a great little speak pipe there. Let us know if you see it again. We had another speak pipe from him we're going to do in the future, I think. But we've got a lot of speak pipes to go through as well and stories from all of you out there. So keep sending them in. We really do enjoy reading through these.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This next
good
one.
Good job, Gary.
Grant. His name is Grant.
Good job, Grant.
This next one is called Beyond the Dream Door.
Oh, this is great.
This is a good one. This comes from Jana. This took place between 1973 and 1994 in Oklahoma.
Beginning as far back as I can remember, I had a reoccurring dream. Well, a nightmare, actually. This extremely scary experience happened often and followed the same pattern each time. It always started with me in a house, walking up a staircase. Ooh, scary, right? I know it sounds pretty normal, but when you've been here over and over, you know what's coming. When I reach the top of the stairs, there is no landing, only a door. Upon opening this door, I have to crawl through rather than walk, but I never understood why. Anyway, after entering the room beyond, the horror started. This is not the point of the story, though. So one day, when I was in college, I went with some friends to see a house. They were thinking about renting this place and wanted a second opinion. It was an old farmhouse and seemed pretty cool, even though it was pretty run down. Once in the house, it seemed familiar to me, but I didn't fully grasp the significance until we came upon the staircase. Yes, it was my staircase. I nearly couldn't look up, but I forced myself. There it was, the door. I immediately felt overwhelming fear and dread, and I literally ran out of the house. By the time I reached the car, I was in a panic, shaking and crying. For the last 21 years, this house has haunted my dreams. In that dream world, the room held demonic entities. But who knows what we would have faced if I had opened this real-world door? Well, needless to say, my friends did not rent the house after seeing my reaction. They were totally freaked out. I may have saved them from living in a possessed house, but the best part of the whole experience was that I never had the nightmare again. I have no idea why my reoccurring dream became real. Or was it really an omen or a warning? It's unexplained, and I'm glad to have never experienced it again. Thanks for letting me share. Love your show. Oh, yeah, fascinating how that story ends. Once she encounters that door, that house, in the waking world, the dream then never returns. That's pretty cool.
Great story. That is so weird because it just reminds me of that other story we have, The Woman in the Window.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't know if we're going to do today, but another listener story sent one in, a similar idea of basically of something that you dream that's reoccurring and then experiencing it in the real world.
Yeah.
And this, of course, goes back to the idea of like, what are dreams? And was this an omen? Was what happened if she would have gone through this door in the real world or if her friends would have gotten the place?
Right.
What would have been on the other side? And so in her dream version of this, the dream world, it was filled with malevolent entities, right?
Demonic forces.
So maybe there was a darkness there.
Yeah.
And her dreams were warning. That's interesting.
Pretty freaky. But it just reminds me of all the conversations we've had about dreams and reoccurring places and people. And
yeah.
I always think about John's house, that house you all used to dream about. I don't even remember that. I used to have a reoccurring dream about the house.
Mm-hmm. What?
The piano.
Yep. I haven't had that dream in a long time.
But it was the same place each time, right? It was like a building. It was a house you would go into and there was a piano somewhere.
Are you
in the
talking
house.
About the dark one?
You said it was unsettling, but it was a reoccurring dream.
Yeah, it's weird. I haven't had those dreams in a while. There was a house that I would always go to, but there was also like this haunted place too that I would always go to. And that one was really dark. That was like a demonic, like I hated being there. And every time I saw it in the dream, I'd just be like, no.
Not again.
Don't want to be here.
Because you know where it is. You know what it is.
You ever dream where you're like, it's like a horror, like a really bad dream.
Yeah.
You know it's a dream kind of, but you almost have to, it's almost like watching a movie, but you like want to close your eyes.
Yeah.
But it's like you can't.
Because you're in it.
You're in it, but it's the same kind of feeling. You know it's like a movie to some degree, but you're there too at the same time. But it's that feeling of just like, I just want to fast forward this right now. It's just horrifying.
Yeah.
It's a weird feeling.
Especially when everything moves so slow.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a key theme too in a lot of my dark dreams. Like I just can't move, run,
right.
and get away.
Can't run, can't move.
But that's so weird because when you were saying that, I mentioned earlier in this episode that story I saw on that HBO show, These Haunted Woods, I think it was called. And part of her experience after coming back from the prison that was allegedly haunted and abandoned was these reoccurring dreams. But the freakiest thing about her dreams and why she was like crying, why it was so traumatic when she was talking about it, is she was lucid, completely lucid every time she'd wake up in the dream and she'd be like, oh no, I'm back here again. And there'd be this demonic thing that was attacking her, chasing her, that she thought, you know, it was responsible for her dog.
Yeah, she said it went on for months where it was, she just knew, she wouldn't try not to sleep because she'd always return to this
imagine
place.
Knowing that when you go to bed, you're going to wake up in a nightmare, and not only wake up in a nightmare, but that you're going to be lucid and aware in it and you can't wake yourself up. Like, it's like prison every night in a demonic, you know, fairyland. That's what she was experiencing.
Sucks.
Yeah, sucks.
Be careful.
One way to put it.
Be careful out there.
Anyway.
Bummer.
But yeah, to this story, Beyond the Dream Door, I thought that was good. It asks those questions that we talk about all the time. Like, what is real? what are dreams? What is the reality of dreams?
And I was just going to say, not to go too deep into it, but we've talked about this before, but there's so many cultures around the world that believe that in dream work and believe that there is, you know, I think we take for granted our dreams in the West. And it's very much like, you know, it doesn't matter all that much. There might be some psychology behind it.
It's your brain's farting at night.
Right. Or you're learning, you're practicing things over, but most of it's kind of nonsense. Mm-hmm. Where in a lot of cultures, the dream world is just a part of their reality, which I kind of wish we had more of that here. I think it'd be a much more interesting life.
Much more curious existence, for sure.
All right. Are we ready for the next one?
Yeah. This next one comes from L.
It's a pretty name.
And I call it Shadow Rider. And this happened when she was pregnant with her first son.
This took place in Minneapolis, Minnesota, between December 2021 and January 2022.
I was in my first trimester, so I was super tired all the time. I had gone to bed early after putting my two-year-old to sleep, and my husband was still awake downstairs. I woke up after about an hour and saw a black shadowy figure on all fours next to my bed, inches from my head, with a smaller shadow sitting on its back. My initial sleep-deprived thought was, what is my husband doing next to my bed with my daughter on his back? I was about to ask him when a half second later, my heart plummeted into my stomach, and I threw the covers up over my head because my rational mind told me that they would not be playing in a dark room at 10 or 11 p.m. while I was trying to sleep. I finally got the guts to reach my hand out and grab my phone to call my husband. He came upstairs quickly, but nothing was there when he turned on the light. My side of the bed doesn't have anything but a few feet of carpet and a closed closet door, so I don't think it could have been anything else casting a shadow. I suppose I could have been dreaming, but if I was, I can't figure out where the dream ended and real life began, because I was still seeing the things while diving under the covers. Anyways, you guys have a great show. Keep up the good work.
Yick.
There it is again, hiding in the corners and crevices of the room while you sleep soundly.
That's an unnerving one. Something on its hands and knees next to you. Yeah, with a little one on its back.
What feels like a little horse?
A little shadow horse.
For a shadow gnome.
Little dog.
You see shadow people. Can you have like shadow horses?
Sure.
With shadow people riding them? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Could be a whole ecosystem over there. We don't know about on the
other
side.
Absolutely.
It's true. Ask Mr. Pardo.
He would know.
Pardo always knows.
Are you referencing that Are You Afraid of the Dark episode with the glasses?
Or Sardo. I keep forgetting.
No, mister. Accent on the dough.
That's Sardo!
No, mister. Accent on the dough.
Yeah, the glasses they put on, you could see surrounding you all the time were these shadow people, but you just normally can't see them.
I remember when we first heard about this concept in later years, probably early 2000s, late 90s, I remember hearing Art Bell, immediately thought of that Are You Afraid of the Dark episode from our childhood. These things are just around us all the time. You don't see them unless you have one of those magic glasses, pair of glasses.
Yeah. Yeah, this reminded me of the, you guys recovered that fairy riding that boar?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Strange Wilderness or something? That it was allegedly, it was a trail cam image from, I think we picked it up from Phantoms and Monsters.
Yeah, Von Strickler.
But that was kind of interesting because it was in Tackenberg in the Netherlands in Germany, I believe. And it had been compared to the legendary being from Germanic mythology in that area named Dirk.
Yes.
Dirk, who would ride with the gods on top of his wild boar during the wild hunt. It was interesting, the sleeping connection there that I kind of am piecing together, if you buy it from me, I'm selling it cheap, is that
it's free.
The Noctmar, right?
Giving it away.
With the sleep paralysis.
Oh yeah, the Noctmar.
Not that she experienced that, but the idea of that in that state, there's the Noctmar, which is the, you know, nightmare of the horse, or the Drood is the southern German term where this image was captured, but they can do much more apparently than just cause you nightmares. They may also tangle your hair, unsettle your livestock, steal eggs from your chickens, exchanging them for smaller ones. That's very nice. At least they put some back.
Just a little bit.
And the, of course, the changeling idea. But another anecdote is that often a Drood is a woman who is cursed, her soul being forced in the night to leave her body and wander about looking for sleeping victims to, quote, press or ride on the chest. They enter the room through keyholes, can take the form of animals such as cats, and in some beliefs, accompany the wild hunt.
Oh, cool.
So in your astral form, accompanying the wild hunt, maybe you would appear shadow-esque. And of course, you'd be riding something.
We talked about that.
Maybe
yeah.
this thing in the bedroom had just taken a break from the Wild Hunt and come down to get a sip of the old adrenochrome in the bedroom from our dear listener.
I hope not.
I hope not, too. but anyways, I don't know. I just think that's all very interesting. And, you know, we don't know what these shadows are, but
I do like that concept, though, that sometimes these shadow entities, especially when there's not a huge nefarious feeling around it, could they be just what we see of someone who's astral projecting or having an out-of-body experience
yeah.
and going and visiting you in your room?
Exactly.
You know, I like that's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
That'd be a better one to have than like mm-hmm. a demonic entity.
Well, that's kind of the woman in the window story that we'll probably have to save for the next listener story.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the idea of that. Did I see?
Yep. Don't spoil it.
I won't spoil it. But maybe I saw something like you're talking about. All right.
Ooh, our final tale for the day.
Yes, this is cool. I could just picture being here in this scene. This comes from Lexi. I could relate to the story a lot, except for having been a vet, because I've never seen combat. I don't know if you can tell by my general silly disposition.
Physique. Your coordination. You'd be the guy that just like just breaks things and spills stuff.
Jeremy the unfortunate soldier.
Okay.
Like the tank doesn't work again. Jeremy spilled his monster.
I got it together, guys.
But then you'd fix it.
Exactly.
That's true.
Put it back together.
Break it, but you'd put it back
I'd probably work in like the radio room and just, yeah, break stuff and fix it.
Jeremy's broken 8 radios, but he fixed them all.
I did. That's what I do. Anyway, this comes from Lexi from Coatesville, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia a bit. And this took place in 2013, and we call this Neighborhood Vampire.
I've always believed in the supernatural for as long as I can remember, thanks to my mom, who would often share her own personal encounters with the unknown throughout my childhood, along with us both sharing a love for the original unsolved mysteries. However, I never really had any encounters with the paranormal until I reached adulthood. Even then, none of them, while spooky, left me feeling particularly in danger, as they primarily consisted of things like shadows darting across a room or ghostly footsteps in the guardroom of a Civil War era fort I was staying at for a reenactment. It wasn't until my ex-wife and I moved into a former steel town called Coatesville in 2013 that I had my first real encounter that left me with a sense of impending doom. I had just gotten out of the army after a 3-year stint and was having trouble readjusting to civilian life after my year-long combat deploy in Afghanistan. This resulted in many, many fights between us both day and night, and I would often go for long walks at all hours just to get away and recollect myself. Now, it's worth noting that Coatesville is a very troubled location. As I mentioned earlier, it was a steel town, with Lucan Steel providing most, if not all, the jobs to the residents. However, once the company went out of business, the local economy suffered, and crime became extremely prevalent. One could feel the heaviness in the air wherever they went. The night of my encounter was like any other. My ex and I had gotten into a vicious argument, and I had escaped to the relative calm of my neighborhood streets for my usual walk, which consisted of making my way around the block 2 or 3 times until I felt things had calmed down enough. Now, our house was on a street that went slightly uphill. Quite frankly, it was kind of a difficult walk, even though I was in shape at the time. I had finished my third loop of the block and was making my way back when I spotted a dark figure walking ahead of me, seemingly leaving one of the houses that lined the streets. At this point in my life, I was incredibly hypervigilant and my eyesight was sharp, so I found it incredibly odd that this person managed to avoid my detection, even at night. Nevertheless, I continued walking, keeping my eyes on the figure the whole time in case they were up to no good. Then, out of absolutely nowhere, I felt a wave of utter terror, anxiety, and dread wash over me. It was at this point I was able to fully make out this individual as they walked under the dim streetlight. They appeared to be wearing a large black hoodie or coat, with the slightly pointed hood portion completely obscuring their face. It wasn't until they began making slow flapping motions with the ends that I realized it was a cloak. This being unusual in that A, it was summertime, and B, more importantly, there was no one in Coatesville who would be caught wearing a cloak or cape. Worst of all, I couldn't tell whether they were walking away from me or towards me. It almost seemed like they were walking in place. The sidewalk suddenly got longer. Time slowed down.
The fear and dread I felt pulsating through my entire being grew worse and worse, especially after I felt myself involuntarily walking towards this being. I physically couldn't stop despite my best efforts. At this point, I began praying to God to deliver me from this being's grasp. After what felt like an eternity, it seemed to have worked. The sidewalk returned to its normal length. The fear slowly subsided. Time resumed at its normal speed. I regained control of my body, and more importantly, the being began to move away and eventually faded away into the darkness. Once I was sure it was gone, I bolted the rest of the way up the hill back to my house and pounded on the front door until my wife let me in. It wasn't until I started thinking about the whole ordeal that I realized that this thing had materialized outside of my house. To this day, I believe that all the negative energy from the fighting drew this entity to my home, like the bat signal. I'm not sure if it left for good, as the fights continued long after I saw it physically manifest. Perhaps it did so to let me know it was there and intended to wreak more havoc, but ultimately, I'll never know. But one thing is for certain, I'll never ever want to feel that way again.
Yes. Oh, I guess there's one more. All right, I was wrong. One more account for the night.
Ooh.
All right, this next story is simply about reincarnation, which of course is not simple at all. It's a very strange experience, controversial to say the least, but these stories keep coming up. And this story was sent in to us from Crystal Hagen. And this took place in Belleville, Michigan, between 2000 and 2002. My oldest daughter was born in 1997. When she was three, she started telling myself, my mother, and my husband that she, quote, missed her other mommy. And, quote, wanted her other grandma she had before Nana. I thought it would pass, but it didn't. And until she was almost five, she continued to say these things and even went to school telling her teacher how much she, quote, missed her other mommy so much she was so sad, causing the teacher to reach out and basically inquire if I was in fact her mother, without actually asking the question. She told us she didn't have another daddy, and her other mommy was sad about that, but never said why, and then her other grandma lived with her mommy, but she didn't have another grandpa. They lived in a little house with a very big yard that had a red barn with sheep and a brown barn with chickens. Her, quote, other mommy had yellow hair and blue eyes and didn't look like me. Those are very haunting words from a toddler that still give me chills to remember, because there were times when she would have those toddler fits and sometimes yell things like, quote,
you're not my mom.
Then one day, she just stopped talking about it, and when she was asked, had no real memory of it. She's almost 26 now and says she can remember talking about it when she was little, but can't remember the specific details she would describe about the people and surroundings she talked about in such great detail back then. At the time, I had no idea there were other people in the world with similar stories, and really can't thank you guys enough for sharing everyone's unique stories. I love listening to them. Well, we like listening to yours, so thank you for submitting.
That would be unnerving to hear your daughter say that.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was interesting that she said she didn't have another daddy, and that her other grandma didn't have another grandpa. In other words, like, it was like a single mom in this past life. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it would have been like,
and like living in the same home, probably to support each other.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just kind of an interesting that obviously the child wouldn't put that together necessarily. It's yeah. Like, yeah, the mother was living with her mom and my dad wasn't there.
That makes it seem more of a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of stories. I love these stories because they just make you think.
And then
you know?
Something happens at a certain age where like mm-hmm. you're, it's like almost like your new,
you're fully implemented in this world.
Yeah. Fully integrated into this 3D reality, this plane.
On to the next family.
What do they call it? Coming online? You've come online.
Yeah.
It's funny because next episode we'll have to do it. We got a really good story. I don't know if you read it, John, about a woman who gave birth to a black-eyed child.
Oh, yeah.
Creepy.
And it's not as salacious as that, as I just made it sound, but
mother of the black-eyed
kid. But basically
kid.
There was a moment where she talked about how like, up until a certain amount of weeks after the child was born, it was like there was a darkness and there was a...
There was no sclera?
No sclera.
Almost like something
just
had
just very, very dark eyes and yeah. darkness. Even the grandmother years later said or her mom said, I didn't want to be in there with your child up until like a few weeks later.
Like something had attached. We did that whole episode, expansion episode on paranormal pregnancy. Mm-hmm. This like, yeah, it seems to be an attraction around that time of pregnancy.
But she had wondered, was my child just not ready yet? And something else had been there in the meantime. And then 4 weeks later, whatever, then all of a sudden my baby was there. I love my baby. It's interesting. Yeah. We might do that on the next episode.
That'll be an interesting one to do for sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for all these stories.
Yes.
These were really, really good. Really enjoyed this episode. Hope you guys did too.
Oh, I want to make a real quick announcement. By the way, some of you out there are fans of and have even acquired our Night Stalker beard balm from Ready Man Grooming. Just so you know, listeners out there, now you can not only get ours at a discount, but site-wide, everything is 15% off with our code BELIEFHOLE.
Get it.
All lowercase. One word. BELIEFHOLE. All lowercase, one word.
Oh, so make use of that greasy, greasy goodness.
Yes, get that greasy goodness.
It's just great the right stuff. Amount of grease. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. It is amazing. It's still, to this day, honestly, my favorite smelling product I've ever experienced. It's really good.
It's what I put on before I go out.
That's right. Me too.
Every time I get hugs from a girl, and usually it's not someone available, mom, but they'll be like, you smell.
It's usually mom. She's not available. She's got dad.
Or someone who's intertwined. It's like, oh, you smell good. I go, that's
I want to have your baby.
That's Night Stalker. Night Stalker. That's Night Stalker.
They're like, well, bye.
They're like, that's creepy.
It's going to say out of nowhere and thunder claps in the background.
And the wolf comes out from behind the car.
Yeah, subtle notes of vanilla and tobacco, right?
It was the woodsy scent, yes.
A beard oil scent that blends the masculine, earthy forest aroma with the seductive notes of tobacco and vanilla.
Mm. It's wonderful. I do love it. You know, I'm just going to play the whole ad for our Beard Balm Night Stalker because it's fun.
Yes.
Now available in Beard Wash.
When the cool light of the blood moon beckons, the midnight call won't be ignored. And every creature of the night looking for love needs the right scent to snare their heartthrob. In partnership with Ruddy Man Grooming, the brothers of the Belief Hole have curated Night Stalker. A beard oil scent that blends the masculine, earthy forest aroma with the seductive notes of tobacco and vanilla. Mm. For a subtly sweet balance that will have your partner purring late into the evening. However the night moves you, Night Stalker Beard Oil is your loyal companion.
Yes!
So head over to BeliefHole.com and click on the Night Stalker button. Available in beard oil, balms, and butters. And don't forget to use the code BELIEFHOLE for 15% off your purchase. Whoa! That's BELIEFHOLE, one word, all lowercase. Night Stalker. Wow! For a superior breed of beard.
Yeah, check that out, guys. Link in the show notes. Ruddy Man Grooming, all his stuff is freaking fantastic.
Yes.
And he's a good, good man. So support him, support us, and support each other.
And support yourself with good smells.
That's right. Support your scent. Oh, and you know what, guys? I almost forgot. We do have some very special people to thank.
Yes, we do.
And maybe the most special person to thank today, guys, we have a new Skywheel writer.
Oh, my God.
What?
Shut up.
Right?
Stop it.
His name is Jesse Martin.
Jesse, come on down, buddy.
Skywheel Rider.
Skywheel Rider.
Ooh, it tickles. Weird.
That's weird.
That is weird. I'm sorry. I was picturing the Skywheel getting tickled as Jesse's riding him.
Thank you, Jesse Martin.
Jesse, you are a treasure trove of wonderfulness.
A man of heroes.
A class act.
Yes, a real hero of the whole. Thank you so much.
Of true integrity.
Deep in our hearts, you are.
Super generous of you, my friend.
Keep us going. Guys, we're going to get a studio, we just decided.
Yes, we decided we are going
And you're helping us with the Skywheel. We're going to actually move it to a semi-professional level at some point here.
Yes, actually rent a place outside of our homes to record in a professional way.
That's how we started.
The Hole deserves it, and you guys deserve it. And we really want to make that happen. It's going to make a much better show, I think.
We're going to do more video. I know people have been asking for that.
Absolutely.
Anyways, let's get back to the thank yous.
So thank you, Jesse.
Yes. Anyways, thank you so much, Jesse. Thank you for being a hero. You're making things possible, and we love you. All right, guys. Let me scroll down here. Thank you to Simply Catherine. Simply Catherine sounds like a 90s sitcom.
Catherine, you're much more than simple.
Yes.
Well, I said Simply Catherine because there's no last name.
Oh.
But Catherine.
Thank you to be here, Catherine. You are our hero and a black-eyed cool kid to me.
Cat attack.
Guys, we have a shadow person of interest.
All right.
Especially generous fellow by the name of Roland Belsted.
Ding, yes. Ding.
Get your watch.
Watch.
Get your watch.
Wait, Rolex. Rolex. Yes. Sorry.
Good Lord.
Terrible.
Terrible association.
Roland is a very good audio synthesizer company.
That's true. I was going to say, that name has heft. Belsted.
Roland.
I like it. Welcome to be here,
Roland. Rolling down the...
We're happy to have you. All right, get... call.
We're out of practice.
Call
up your pack. Period of program. They're going. Call up your pack and your fellow canines, because we have a dog man whisperer in the house. And his name is Andrew Fifu.
Ooh, he is going west into the hole.
He is going west.
Yes, I was going to say something along those lines.
Yes.
Great film. Grew up on it.
Fifu goes west.
Fifu goes west. Gave me very weird feelings.
Thank you, Andrew. Guys, we have two more Dogman Whispers. I didn't even realize this. Jordan is in the house as a Dogman Whisperer.
Jordan.
Welcome, Jordan.
Hello.
That was a terrible howl.
Are you related to Michael? Sorry, I didn't even want to say it.
I know. Why did you?
I don't know.
Totally forgot it.
The stupidest thing I could have ever said.
Are you related to Michael?
It's the only Jordan there is.
Can I reverse that?
Yes. Jordan, thank you. Next on the list of Dogman Whispers, we have Cooper Munger. Ooh, I hope you're not a lunger.
Cooper Munger?
Tombstone reference.
Cooper Munger.
Cooper Munger. A Cooper Munger. Sounds like a kind of cheese, but like the tastiest kind of cheese.
The tastiest of tastes.
Yes.
Eat it up.
Thank you, Cooper. Thank you for being a fellow and friend of the Gleeful. Javier Rodriguez is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Javier Rodriguez!
A dapper man of splendid taste.
Yes.
Welcome
Thank
into
you,
the
Javier.
Hole.
Katie G, come on down to be here. Welcome.
Katie G, almost like Katie P, but better.
Yes.
Katie G, better believe it.
Katy Perry.
Bianca, yes. Welcome to be here, Bianca.
Almost like Beyonce, but better.
You share your name with the famous Rescue Ranger.
Oh, Rescue Rangers.
Remember Bianca?
I do.
Why are we going down the animated animal route? I'm giving Chris nostalgia tickles and it's bothering him.
The animated animal route. Bianca. Three cheers for Bianca. That was two.
Holy Kelly, it's Holly Kelly.
Holly Kelly?
Welcome to the whole Holly Kelly. She's a Dogman Whisperer.
Oh my gosh.
Welcome in.
Dogman Whisperer Holly Kelly, you are the generous of the generous.
But she better run fast, because following right behind her is Banshee Cat.
Dangerous.
Come, Banshee Cat. We must fight the villains.
Yes.
Terrifying
yes.
name.
Yes, yes,
Guys,
yes.
Guys, I don't know
yes.
if you're living in a small home, but we have Sarah Morehouse.
Yes.
To welcome you in today.
Oh, good. We can expand.
Welcome, Sarah.
Sarah.
Sarah, always putting the extensions on her home.
Thank you. Thank you to be here, Sarah.
I love your new addition.
That was really good. Welcome, yes. Sarah. Happy to have you here.
Yes.
Happy to be here.
Holy Lord, it's Iron Lord Biscuit.
Iron Lord Biscuit? Genuine laugh.
Iron Lord Biscuit.
Yes.
Now, there's the emphasis. Is it Iron Lord Biscuit or is it Iron Lord Biscuit?
Yes,
like you're
true.
Eating a Lord Biscuit.
Iron Lord Biscuit.
That's a certain type of biscuit, and it is Deliscuit.
I think that person just made that name up when he was signing up.
I think it's a random generated name. It's like a Mid-Journey name. Thank you, Iron Lord Biscuit. It's a killer name if it's real. Matt Lawyer is here.
Yes.
Lawyer?
Yes.
Like a lawyer?
L-A-W-E-R.
L-A-W-E-R?
Lawyer.
Lawyer.
Matt Lawyer.
Lauer.
It could be Matt Lauer.
Matt Lauer?
The esteemed news pundit.
The esteemed.
That guy that is in hiding.
I don't think it's
for him. His devious sexual acts.
Thank you, Matt. Welcome into the hole.
Yes, yes. Let's not equate him to a man. Devious sexual.
Not this guy, obviously.
No, this is Matt Lawyer. Anyways, hero of the whole, welcome to be here, Matt.
Yes.
We welcome you very sincerely.
Fantastic of you to join us.
It's not heavy lifting to have him in the hole. Jacob Burden is here.
No burden to us.
Not a burden at all.
You are easy and light as a feather.
Especially when you're a Dogman Whisperer like you are. Extra howl. Oh, shoot, there's another dog man in the house, and his name is Michael Bartmus.
Michael Bartmus! Oh, God!
What was that? Sounded a little too enjoyed there.
Too orgasmic?
Yes, that's the word. Anne-Marie DeRosia.
Yes.
Or DeRosia.
Anne-Marie, what a pretty name.
Yeah, it's very pretty. Welcome in, Anne-Marie.
Beautiful.
Welcome to be here, Anne-Marie. Thank you for your support.
Thank you for being here.
Rachel Cavalier, Marty Shorts, Devon Girl, UK, a Dogman Whisperer.
Yes. Wait,
oh,
what?
Right!
Rewind.
Let's back that up. Rachel Cavalier, Marty Shorts, Devon Girl, UK. Nice.
You tease.
You tease. Welcome into the hole.
Obviously they're messing with us a little bit.
Oh, they're just having fun.
Say it one more time just to tease.
Rachel Cavalier / Marty Shorts Devon Girl UK.
Yes!
Maybe it's multiple people.
It could be two. There's a / there.
There's one person. She wrote in like a week ago and said, you said Rachel on the show. I hope that wasn't me because I had a long name and I really hope you read my long name.
Oh. Well, we did.
Okay. One more time for the road.
Rachel Cavalier / Marty Shorts Devon Girl UK.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Welcome to be here, Rachel.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
We're happy to have you, Dogman Whisperer, the generous lady that you are.
Yes.
Big Sauce 25, pour yourself a big old glass of that, Chris, since you are the sauce king. Drink it
up.
I do like sauces.
Sauce me.
I wonder if he's spicy or sweet.
John, all of your comments sound sexual in nature.
Because I'm a sexual being,
yes.
Jeremy.
That's true, you are.
We all are.
Yuck.
Chris.
Welcome into the hole.
Chris, I don't like think of John being a sexual being.
Oh, you've never thought of me as a sexual being? You think about it all the time.
It's like you thinking of Jeremy as a sexual being.
Yeah, but it's kind of obvious.
It's kind of obvious that I am a sexual being. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Moving along. Farsam Omidpana. Omidpana. Omidpana.
Thank you, Farsam.
Please forgive me for not pronouncing your name correctly. Yeah. Thank you for being here, my friend. Farsam, I think he actually submitted a listener story we just did.
He did. We covered it.
That was a great story.
Thank you, Farsam. We are very happy to have you in the hole with us. We appreciate your story, too.
Yes. Welcome, my friend, and thank you. December Boozer, hi.
Oh, getting close to your due date.
Your due date of beverages in the belly. Coming soon.
I want a boozer.
Coming in a few months.
Yes, thank you, Shane, my friend.
Christmas must be fun for you.
Andrew Savage is a savage. That's lazy. Lazy word association, I'm sorry. Andrew Savage,
thank you
to be here.
Welcome in.
You are a true friend of the whole.
You are a mastermind.
Asher Dugan, hi.
Asher Dugan, you're not fooling.
Yes.
You're fooling.
I don't know.
Okay.
We used to be kind of good at this. I remember there was
a time.
I'm
so tired. My brain just isn't working at all today. The last one was really good.
We used to be quick. We used to be able to come up with stuff. Our show has gotten progressively better. Our thank yous have gotten progressively worse.
Maybe because we don't drink during the show anymore.
It's harder later in the day.
I've had some beers tonight and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I think it makes it worse.
I just want to say I did great last time. I was like this. And tonight I am, nothing is coming out.
I don't think you've ever really been that good.
Oh. Or new.
That's definitely true.
I've been the greatest.
I don't believe you.
Yes!
All right, we're almost done. You guys ready?
Yep.
Okay, let's give it our best here. Another Dogman Whisperer coming down the trail to the belief hole, Jeffrey Jalomo.
Oh, yes.
Jalomo.
Wow, Jalomo. Jeremy.
No, you say it. Say it.
I'm just kidding.
Yes. I'm doing my best here.
Let's do his again.
Okay. Another Dogman Whisperer, guys, in the hole. No joke, only truth right here. We have Jeffrey Jalomo.
Yes,
Jeffrey, welcome to be here, sir. We are so grateful to have you. We hope you enjoy the extra content.
Welcome to be here, Mr. Jalomo. You are a friend of ours today and always. And finally, the last black-eyed cool kid in the hole tonight supporting the show, someone who I'd like to have a fine beverage with. It's Margie Good Ale.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Margie in the house.
Have a good ale with you any day, Margie.
Margie Good Ale is not stale.
Nope. And she is never, she never fails.
Effervescent.
Gosh.
Welcome into the hole.
Thank you so much, Margie. And we welcome you forever to be here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And thank you all for supporting the show. If you want to get your name heard on the show, go to bleeful.com. Click on the big red expansion button and sign up at the Black Eyed Cool Kids tier and up.
Yeah, if you want to make our transition to an actual legitimate space successful, hit that subscribe and get the extra content because you are going to make our dreams and your dreams come true.
Absolutely.
Together, it's one.
We got 100 plus episodes there now, I think, fully produced. Wonderful content. So go slurp it up.
Slurp it up.
Sauce me.
I'm a sexual being, Jeremy.
Sauce me.
I'm a sexual being, Jeremy.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.